And so we turn to Malachi once again to learn through the reproof of God's people that we might be better equipped to serve the Lord properly. In Malachi chapter 3, last week we spent some time looking at the beginning of the chapter, and especially the words concerning the church and the church's people giving to the work of God. But this morning I want to pick up in verse 13 and follow along with me as I read through the end of the chapter. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? And ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Let's pray together. Our Father, we would love to have discernment, and we know that discernment comes from thee, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we would ask that we would be ever tender to his voice to us, that we would not grieve him or quench him or resist him, but that we would open up our hearts to hear his still small voice guiding us and directing us and helping us to be enlightened in the holy things of God. Bless our time together, and we will be very thankful for your blessings to us. In Jesus' name and for his glory, amen. You remember, it's been a while since we were really studying through the book of Malachi because of the holiday seasons came upon us and we spent much time considering the wonders of the birth of our Savior. But we're coming back, and just as a little quick reminder, In the book of Malachi, there's a series of statements that are made by God, the Lord God Almighty, and the people of God, who were very obstinate and stubborn and hard-hearted, were answering back to God. And we saw that several times. For instance, in chapter 1, the Lord said this to the people of God, I have loved you, saith the Lord. And they said, wherein have you loved us? They were complaining that God didn't really demonstrate that he loved them. Then we see in chapter 2, also in chapter 1, he said to the priest, you have offered polluted bread on my altar. And ye say, wherein or how have we polluted thee? In that they made the table of the Lord contemptible. In chapter 2, the Lord had to say to them, ye have wearied me with your words. And yet they said to him, wherein or how have we wearied thee with our words? Where is the God of judgment? In Malachi chapter 3, we saw, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But they say, this is in verse 7, wherein or how shall we return? You see, they were talking back to God. They were questioning his love. They were questioning his word. They were no longer listening to the word so that they could be doers of the word. By the way, that's one of the verses the kids were showing me they learned in Sunday school this morning. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. The word of God became of no effect to them anymore. It wasn't important to them. It didn't move them. It didn't stir them. It was routine. They were steeped in this waywardness. Last week we saw where he said to them, will a man rob God? And they said, how have we robbed you? And God told them, with your giving, you haven't been giving the way you should. And then we come to this passage this morning in verse 13 of chapter 3, and he says, your words have been stout. That's not a word we hear very often. It's a word that in the original language means that their words were hard and strong against Jehovah. They were against him. And that's what we've seen, really. We see their record in the early chapters of this book. And so their words were hard against the Lord. They were strong against the Lord. And the Lord said, yet ye say, what have we spoken against thee? Can you imagine? After we've heard what we've just heard in their opposition to God, now they're saying, well, how? How did we do that? Well, wow, they were so blind. They were so blind to their own waywardness. And you know, I know we all have blind spots, don't we? Sometimes we have blind spots and we can't see, and we have a difficult time seeing. I mean, you know, others may see it in us, but these people had a blind spot, and there was just a whole host of people that were that way against God. And they said things, what profit is it to keep his ordinances? In verse 14. And he says, it is vain to serve God. And now, verse 15, now we call the proud happy, yea, and they that work wickedness are set up. They that tempt God are even delivered. See, everything was mixed up in their minds. But then we find out in the second part of this chapter, of this text, we find that there is another group of people. And there's only ever two groups of people in this world, you know. Those that believe and serve God, and those that don't believe and don't serve God. And we find that these people who were opposing God were not really serving God with all their heart. They were not loving him with all their heart. They were not taking care of the business of God that joyfully and happily and willingly. But we find this other group of people that contrast is like night and day. There are those that do not really know God, and there are those that do know God. There are those that are grumbling and murmuring and carnal and earthly minded, not serving God. And there are those who are rejoicing, joyful, spiritually minded people who are serving God. Notice what it says about them in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord. Here's this other group of people in stark contrast to the wayward ones we've been reading about. The ones that had to be called on the carpet by Jehovah because of what they were doing. Their mechanical religion. Their just going through motions, not really with the heart, but just physically. And I believe we learn from this passage of Scripture that God detests that. But now we come to this other group of people, this group of people that do know him. And I like what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said this, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knows those that are his. All this facade that was going on, all this false religion that was going on in Malachi's day, it did not impress or fool God. God knows. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And he is speaking now that there is a remnant. There is this group of people. And oh, to God that we would be found in this remnant when the Lord comes back again. That we would be the ones that know him and love him and serve him and honor his word. Look at what this sweet discourse that the saints have among themselves. This is a group of people that were not like all the people. And I'm so glad that Malachi at least found some people that he was writing to that were receptive. They enjoyed hearing what he had to say, and they were certainly looking for the right to come back. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And notice, the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. What a blessed people these are, that they feared the Lord. By the way, the fear of the Lord is a wonderful study. We look through the book of Proverbs, and there's several passages of scripture that tell us how the fear of the Lord will do your soul a world of good. The fear of the Lord is to have knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to have wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to have spiritual strength. This reverence and awe of who he is and respecting him for who he is. These are a people that feared the Lord. And notice, they feared the Lord and they spoke often one to another. They believed in him. They knew who he was. They knew that he was a rewarder of those that diligently seeked him. They knew him because their eyes were opened, like those men on the way back from Damascus when the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ had taken place. Their eyes were opened. Their hearts were opened, like the heart of Lydia, the seller of purple. They loved the one who opened their eyes. They had reverence for him. They gladly paid homage to him. They feared the Lord. And the fear of the Lord fell on these people. The fear of the Lord came upon them. And here we have this reverence being a good thing with them. It says they spake often one to another. There was this ongoing fellowship. In the things of God. And that's what that expression means. They spoke with one another about the things of God. They were rejoicing in the things that they knew to be true. They were questioning things that were doubtful. They talked through things, through their discourse and the sweet discussions that they had. They were like iron sharpening iron. They helped one another, and sometimes we need help like that, don't we? Because not everything in the Bible is crystal clear, but what we do know, we rejoice in. And some of the things that are not crystal clear, by speaking often about them, we can work our way through it. And somebody that's more educated or somebody that knows their Bible a little better can help you understand what these words are saying. But they spoke often one of another. They weren't giving up because they didn't know. They were pursuing their faith. They were pursuing God. Kind of like reminded me of the early church in Acts chapter 2, in the book of Acts. They were a people who gladly received the word of God. They were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the word of God. And they continued steadfastly in the doctrines and the fellowship and the breaking of bread. They continued steadfastly in praying together. There was a fellowship and a delight in the Lord their God. It's like these people of old in Malachi 3 and verse 16. And says, the scene then turns heavenly. It says, the Lord hearkened and heard it. And he tells us of something else in heaven. There's a book of remembrance written. Wow. Did you know God? Number one, he's a perfect record keeper. I've told you that before. But he has books in heaven. He has the book of life. I'm sure there's a copy of the Holy Scriptures. There is this book of remembrance that was written. Written about what? Written about who? It's the people of God that feared him and loved him and served him. And he writes that name, our names, Lord willing, he writes them down in a book of remembrance in heaven. Because they feared the Lord and they thought upon his name. That was important to God. So much so that he wrote these things down of the people of God. Sometimes we feel like we're forsaken and forgotten, but we're not. You know, we find ourselves in a minority that want to do the right thing, that want to follow the word of God. We're living in a world that is anti-Christ and anti-God, but yet we sometimes feel like, you know, we're the only ones. But there are others all around us. There are others all around the world who have not bowed the knee to Baal. There are others who are just like us who hearken to the word of God. We have not, we fear him. We give him honor. We know that he's a holy God. We know that he's an awesome God. We know that he will have the last word. That's the kind of God that he is. That's the kind of God that we serve. And we never go wrong fearing him and walking with him. The early church was that way. But then the scene goes heavenly and he sees, God sees the activity of great interest in his people on earth and it delights him. Think about that. It delights God when we talk about him. And I hope you think about that. That God does delight in these things. A book of remembrance. In Revelation 20 and verse 12, it says, the books were opened and they were judged out of those things that were written in the books. Wow. The books of God will be opened. And then the third thing to see is how this passage reaches not just to heaven, but on into eternity in verse 17. And it says this, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. God's people are a treasure to him. Did you know that? We will make up his jewels, just as precious stones and precious metals may be precious to us. God is saying, when I make up my treasures, they shall be mine. When I make up my jewels. One commentator, Peter Barnes, said this, the special treasure is something much prized, made of great store and guarded. Such are Christians bought at a great price, even the precious blood of Christ. But much more, evidently, such shall be mine, Malachi says, in all eternity, which that day of final retribution will decide, joying in participation of the Creator, by whose eternity they are fixed, by whose truth they are assured, and by whose gifts they are holy in God's eyes. These are strong affections that God has for his people that he speaks about in verse 17. Really, really, really great to be one of God's people. So we read of this. Yes, we read of the people who were troubled and sorrowful and wrong-headed and wrong-hearted. But we also read of these who had this sweet communion together. They were stirred continually together. They were strengthening one another continually together because they were thinking on the things of God and what a great God He is. In the beginning of this chapter, the Lord said this in verse 2, "But who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like the refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and He shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against your sorcerers and against your adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." In other words, there's a day of reckoning coming when the Lord comes back again, and He's going to sort it all out. He's going to make it all right. And the goats will be on one hand, and His lambs will be on the other. These two groups of people will all be made right. But who can abide the day of His coming? Joshua read this morning from James chapter 5 about the coming of the Lord. Establish your hearts. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And that's what we are to do, to continue on, that we would fear the Lord and speak often one to another, and let the Lord hearken to those words. And I just would like to conclude by saying, are we ready for the coming of the Lord? We see these two different groups of people in Malachi's day. We see these groups of people in our day, do we not? And yet the Lord knows all about it. He's keeping an eye on it. He's in charge. A book of remembrance is written. Isn't that something? Think about it. What a great God He is. Well, let's have prayer together, and we'll close our service as we think about these two groups of people and God's faithfulness to us. Father in heaven, we thank You for the words that are recorded for us. We thank You for recording about these people who had stout, hard words against You. And that's a great warning to us, that we would not waver in doubt, that we would not be like the double-minded man who's unstable in all his ways, but yet that we would be the people who are read about in this second category, those that fear the Lord. We want to be in that number. Lord, help us young and old alike to desire to be in that number, knowing that You are the God that sees all. We can't hide from Thee. You know our hearts. You know our desires. And Lord, we want to serve You, so help us. We ask all this for Your name's sake and for Your glory, and we ask it in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Andrew?